The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
It is Heart Month in February next week.
It is.
And it's also leading into a very important time for you as a charity, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, February we go live for our next heart screenings. So our next heart screenings will be on the 25th and 26th of April this year. But you are able to book on Friday the 20th of February at 4 p.m. That will go live on our website, Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, everything. There'll be a link there that you can go in and book book a heart screening for anyone in your family or yourself, aged 14 to 35. You're able to go and get a free heart test up at Nobles Hospital.
Which is an incredible service, really. And Matthew, for those that haven't done this before, what actually happens in case anyone's a little bit nervous about it?
You know, you walk into the hospital, yeah, it's probably got a couple of minutes waiting time. And then you go in, screen, is it five minutes?
Yeah.
If that, yeah.
5 minute ECG, and if anything's picked up on the ECG, you'll go then into another room to have like a baby scan of the heart, which is called an echocardiogram. And then if anything's picked up or not picked up, you go and see the doctor at the end anyway. So it's literally an entire start to finish is your screening, your results, you go home either happy or sometimes you go home with a bit of a worry, but it's been found, mm-hmm. It can be looked at, it can be treated. And everyone that we found with a problem over the last 20 years has gone on to live a normal life, whether that be through medication, tablets, whatever, or just not allowed to go scuba diving, not allowed to do this, that and the other, you know, to put strain on the heart. So, you know, over 400 people that have been found with something wrong with them out of about 11,000 that we've screened have gone on to normal lives. You know, holes in the heart, we found same condition that Craig had, long QT, we found, and again it's just medication that can be taken to live a normal life.
Isn't that incredible when you think of the impact that this has had since you first set up the charity and all of those people you've affected? But it was interesting, we were hearing from you earlier this week talking about the background of the charity. You'd actually like to be able to see even more people, wouldn't you, if you could?
Absolutely, yeah. If we could add a third screening weekend, it would be ideal. But Cardiac Risk and the Young just haven't got the time to bring everyone over. It's the biggest screening they do across the whole of the UK, screenings that they do. So to have two of them is, you know, we're grateful for that at this stage. But to add a third one in would be nice for us, because we can get another 400 people seen in the year, which would take us over the 1,000 people a year mark. You know, we never say never.
And Matthew, people who have come in their younger years can actually come back again, can't they?
They can, yeah. I think quite often as well, depending on what stage, you know, your heart is developed. Maybe at 14 years old, your heart might not be fully developed, you know, like an adult. So they do recommend as well, you know, maybe come back in 2 or 3 years' time, or if any glitches might have, you know, shown up, they might get the all clear, you know, there and then, but they might suggest just get it double checked again before you hit 35. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's always that safety net there, to cover that. But there's nothing stopping people. Peace of mind, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly that. And you're forewarned, forearmed, isn't it, at the end of the day? Like you were saying, Paul, it means that you know what you can and can't do safely. And all of those lives that you've affected positively is quite extraordinary, really. And
we've actually got a friend, Jonathan Bradley, who's in our booklet, is in our Craig's Heartstrong Foundation booklet, who went to, a couple of heart screenings over the years when he was eligible. And he turned up for his very last one and they found an issue at the age of 35. That they hadn't found previously, and that was something that had developed over a few years. So it just goes to show, whilst the screenings are available, don't just come once. You know, if you're in between the age of 14 and 35, keep coming back every few years just to get peace of mind that things haven't changed, because your lifestyle can change. A lot of things can change. So you know, we don't just say come along once and then you're done. Certainly come along as many times as you want.
And they're entirely free, these screenings, as well.
They are, absolutely, yeah. They're entirely free for the public. Cost us £27,500 each one. So, you know, that's over 50 grand that we need to raise per year. But again, you know, the Manx public support us so well that this gets hit, this target gets hit every year. So thank you again.
I suppose it's all those people as well who have benefited from the screenings as well, probably want to support too, which is always good to know. But it's not just about screenings, is it, Matthew? There's the defibs as well. And this has gone extremely well, hasn't it?
I think everybody knows where there's probably a defib, you know, located by their house, their office. You know, the one always springs to mind is the one at the sea terminal. You know, it's, you know, you come off the boat or whatever, or you go across there. You know, there's one there.
Which has been used.
Yeah.
Successfully.
There's quite a story to do with that, isn't there, Paul?
Yeah, there was someone, I think it was a German visitor, had come over on one of the cruise ships and collapsed, had a cardiac arrest in the car park, and they managed to get the defib off the wall and save his life with it. One of the young girls that worked in the welcome centre there managed to come out and you know, keep everyone back and get the shocks administered to the patient who survived, which, you know, it's the reason why they're there. It's the reason why we want to put them everywhere around the island, is your chances of survival go from about 10% up to 70 or 80% if there's a defib nearby. So those stats are humongous. Mm-hmm. Like that's, you can't even think how important that is. CPR is the most important thing to do in a cardiac arrest situation. But if you've got a defib nearby, that is a game changer, absolute game changer.
And they're fairly straightforward to use, aren't they?
Very much. The audio tells you what you need to do. And it won't administer if they can find, you know, if the machine picks up, you know, the slightest of heartbeats as well. It won't shock.
So you can't get it wrong, essentially, no. Really, can you?
And the good thing with these pads nowadays is they've got them... they're suitable for children. So I think you just change one of the sleeves on it. And again, it tells you exactly what to do, you know, if you need to administer it on a child, you know, so you do have that option, you know, in there. So it is, you know, that one defib caters for, you know, for everybody.
Yeah, some of the older defibs have to have adult pads and paediatric pads. So in an emergency situation, you're changing the pads over if it's a child. The Philips machines that we put island-wide have a child key that just drops in and it reduces the shock, and they can use the same pads that they would on an adult. So that's the reason why we go for this model around the island as well.
It's so clever, isn't it?
They're unbelievable, yeah.
And you mentioned you've got a target you want to achieve with these, haven't you?
We're hoping so. I mean, we've gone over 600 now. You know, your question of where would we be in 5 years' time, we hope to have gone over 1,000 defibs around the island by then. Another 400 isn't an unrealistic target for us, mm-hmm. because, again, we're so well supported, and each time we have extra funds in the bank account which aren't going to be used for heart screenings, we'll go out and buy a batch of defibs, and we're always getting contacted by organisations or commissioners or clubs and things like that to say, we haven't got a defib down here, would it be a good idea to put one in our area? And we'll go down and have a look, see where the suitable buildings are, and if we can get it all approved, then up it goes, and hopefully it gets looked after.
Well, that's the thing, there is that sort of element, isn't there, of sort of community ownership of them, really, and the idea of having the guardians who are keeping an eye on them and making sure that they're up to scratch.
Yeah, we, you know, there was recent press about one that went wrong, and that was just all accidental, and you know, it's been fixed, and that's all we wanted to do, was make sure that these defibs are being looked after. It was being looked after. I think the timings of that just went wrong, really. So what we wanted to focus on is just getting them all working again. There was a big press article about how many on the island weren't working. I think there was 64 that we identified that pads were out of date or the batteries had gone. So they drop off the map. The ambulance service will not rely on it because the pads or the batteries, the dates have run out on their system. Whether someone had replaced the pads or batteries, that's another story, because if they haven't told the ambulance service, they won't update their records. So as far as they're concerned, it's not working. But we've worked with those guardians over the last couple of months, and well over half of the machines are back up and running again. And most of those just hadn't informed the ambulance service that they'd changed the pads and batteries. So it was more communicational issues. Mm-hmm. And like I say, they're all back up and running again now. So we're back up to a very good number around the island. And the other half, or just less than half now, we're working with each guardian to try and get them back up again. Wasn't really our responsibility to do that, but after speaking to the ambulance service, we said, you know what, let's just go for it. Let's just get in touch with them. And if there's any left at the end that we can't get, then we're just going to go and find new guardians for them and get them fixed up, because there's no point in them being there if they're not, you know, they haven't got a working defib inside. And the last thing you want is that situation to happen where you know there's a defib on the wall, but the ambulance service are saying it's not on our record, so we can't rely on it. And then you've got to wait for an ambulance, which you could be in the middle of nowhere. So the upkeep of the machines is the most vital part. You know, it's great that we donate them, but we can't keep an eye on all 600 defibs, which is why the guardians are there in place to look after them. So please, if you are a guardian, just check the machine regular. Every month we say to check them. And then when the pads and batteries are about to expire, just get them ordered a little bit earlier than you would.
Because they are lifesavers, as has been proven on numerous occasions. Yeah.
I mean, we know of at least 8, I think it is, that we've been told about that have been used around the island and saved a life. We also hear rumblings now and again of other ones that have worked, but we don't get that information fed back to us as much as we'd like. So we just say at the moment we know of 8, but there could be a lot more out there that have been used.
It's incredible when you think of these lives that you've affected with the charity, whether it be through the screenings, whether it be through the defibs. I mean, Matthew, someone who's on the committee, how does it make you feel knowing that you're making such a difference?
It's just positive. You know, at the end of the day, these defibs are a life-saving piece of equipment. You know, like the screenings, going back to that, that's your initial. That gives you an insight. Is everything okay? Is everything not okay? You can manage expectations going forward in your life. But the defibs, when you see it, and I've seen them being used at first hand, you know, when Paul said one of the 8, I think one of the first ones was up at PokerStars with Chris, you know, many years ago, you know, just collapsed at work. Then the commotion, and it was somebody that had done the defib training and just ran off and got the defib, and he had only recently just done the training, and, you know, Chris is still here, you know, today. So to actually see it, you know, and it's what it's there for. Mm-hmm. You know, it's quite remarkable. You know, so I guess in an ideal world, you don't want these to be used, but when they are ready to be used, they're there to do, you know, a specific job. And the good thing as well is they're not in awkward places. You know, they're quite, you know, you've got them in telephone boxes, haven't we? There's a lot of pubs, the brewery have supported them, you know, so they're in common places. You don't necessarily need to know. And if you ever struggle, you know, when you're on the phone to the ambulance or 999, they'll give you the key code, isn't it, to get into the boxes, you know, so you never need to think, oh, how am I going to get into that box? You know, it's all there.
Yeah, there's one on the wall outside Manx Radio.
Yes, there is.
Which is always good to see, especially up here where so many people come walking their dogs, and that's the type of area that we're looking at all the time. Is you know, fairly remote up here. We've actually got one in Clips Reservoir, which was the very first one we did, just stood on its own. Mike's Utilities had a unit across the road, so they put power down the road. So that we could just have a standalone down in Clips Reservoir. So that type of idea, you know, we're always looking for ideas for people to come to us and say, can we have a defib in this area? Where would it work? You know, how would we house it? And we'll come down and have a look, and we'll put our heads together and things like that. Mm. Going back to that PokerStars story, that was probably one of our biggest and best stories, because we donated a defib to a rugby club, which the guy who administered the defib had done the training, because the rugby club had got the defib off us. He then worked at PokerStars, who had a defib donated by us. So everything came back to us on that, that we'd organised the training, we'd organised, well, through St John Ambulance, he'd only had the training because his rugby club had had a defib from us. So that to us, that probably one of our proudest moments. And Chris attends our annual dinners that we have, you know, our annual charity dinners now. And when every time we see him, it's just like, wow, this guy is here because of this foundation.
He's like the living proof, isn't he?
Yeah, no other reason. He's here because of that defib.
That is incredible. Yeah. I mean, what would Craig make of all this, do you think?
I think he'd be a bit shy with it all, wouldn't he? Like, seeing his name everywhere all the time. But he'd also be pretty chuffed, I think, yeah. There's a lot of work gone in by his family and his friends over the years, just to keep his legacy alive. When we first sat down around the kitchen table in the Lunt household to say, what can we do? What are we going to do? There was a few of us, you know, we were all, it was run by grief at the time. And we just wanted to set something up and we didn't really know what to do. And then it was actually Craig's dad, Keith, his brother's a doctor. And he gave the idea of using cardiac risk in the young from the UK to come over, and they could look at people's hearts to see if they had the same issue as Craig or something similar. And I think it was 2007 was our very first heart screening in the Palace Hotel after the night of the Star Wars bar had been had. So you come in and the floors were sticky and you go into the room at the back and we had to build these cages. So like the progression over the years, the fact that Manx Care let us use the hospital service now free of charge, you know, that is major, because if you're going for a heart screening, you don't want to turn up to something that, you know, stinks of alcohol from the night before. And like I say, you're sticking to the floor. You're now going up to a hospital facility into Suite D, and it just all runs so much more professionally. And that's, you know, at first, like I say, we were new to it. We had a smallish committee at the start as well that, like I say, we didn't really know what we were going to achieve. But as the years have gone on and we've got more familiar with the heart conditions and what people need to go for those tests, like I say, the professional environment that they go up to now, some people got nervous. Some people get nervous anyway coming in. So if you're going into a hotel lobby and just going through it, it just makes more sense now the way it's run. And like I say, the team at Cry are so good. They bring over the best doctors, and these guys are top technicians as well, picked from all around the UK, you know, some from Liverpool, Birmingham, London. And they come over and they're a great team. We've become friends with a lot of them. Some know our kids. They come, oh, how's your daughter now? And like, my daughter was born with two holes in her heart. And each year they used to just have a little look at her as well. And those holes both netted back together and I've gone now. But as soon as she turned 14, it was just nice to get her in for a proper heart screening, get that comfort that, because we hadn't been seen by a cardiologist for years, because it was all clear. But just to go back in again and get that service for free gave us a feeling of this is what we're giving out to the public, and this is what they must be feeling when they go away. Mm-hmm. So it makes us really proud. I think, like I say, Craig would be proud. He'd be a bit big-headed with his name being everywhere in the end, definitely. Yeah.
Quite right, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he warrants it, definitely. And it's incredible to hear that personal attachment to it as well, Paul. So February being Heart Month, what have you got planned with Craig's Heart Strong? Obviously, you've got the screenings. Anything else going on?
Yeah, so we're just announcing a golf day. So each year we have an annual dinner with an ex-footballer that comes over, and we all put tuxedos on. But they're becoming more and more difficult to do because we've had that many speakers over the 20 years that we're kind of running out. Any of the new footballers, they don't need the cash to come over to the Isle of Man and do a talk. So it's becoming difficult. So 2 years ago, we did a golf day and we had ex-Liverpool footballers over, and we raised, I think we raised about £5,500 on the day. So we've decided again this year, we might not do a ball. We might do a ball. We never know. We'll see what opportunities are there. But the golf day this year, we've mixed it up. We've got two from Liverpool, two from Everton, and two from Manchester United. So we've got Phil Thompson and John Aldridge coming over from Liverpool. And they're, them two players are going to be sponsored by Cedar and Man Crane Hire. We've got Graham Sharp and Kevin Radcliffe coming over from Everton, and they're sponsored by Boston Multifamily Office and Simpson Shaving Brushes. And we've, from Manchester United, we've got David May and Lee Martin, and they're sponsored by Black Grace Cowley and Whittle's Law. So we've got six ex-professionals coming over to the island, all to team up with their sponsors and play a round of golf. And we're going to have another 14 team places available there. That's on the 8th of May at Ramsey Golf Club. And it's going to be £500 a team to enter, a team of four to enter. It's going to have breakfast on arrival, the round of golf, a curry or lasagna evening meal, raffle, auction, and a Q&A with six ex-footballers. So we're looking forward to it. It's going to be pretty good. And
that's,
I think,
be brilliant.
With the nice mix of teams that we've got this time, it's not just
the competition.
Event. Yeah, yeah.
And so how do
we hope
do
they're
people...
not fighting with each other.
Yeah, I know, fingers crossed. So how do people sign up to that one?
So that will be, they can either text me or ring me on 460918, or they can email craigsheartstrong@outlook.com. Or they can go on our website and get those details from there as well. But it will be first come, first serve. It will be a sellout, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you are interested, get in touch straight away.
Brilliant event. And Matthew, you know, we should really end with reminding people about the screenings themselves. When are they happening? How do people sign up to those?
They can sign up through the main Facebook page for the Heartstrong. The next screening, we've got the 25th, 26th of April. The notifications will start going out, you know, February time. Mm-hmm. And then do we usually do another one, what, September, October time?
Yes, usually towards the end of September we have another one. I don't know the exact dates, but it's around about my wedding anniversary, which is the 29th. So somewhere around there.
So it's worth keeping an eye on the pages for that. And again, if you're just going to put a message out there, Matthew, to anyone who's listening and you want to encourage them to go to the screenings, why should they do it?
It's peace of mind for your future, I guess. You know, not only for the individual, I think I wanted to touch on it earlier, it's the parents as well. You know, you imagine, you know, what Craig's parents had to go through. Yeah. Nobody wants to bury their child or anything like that, you know. And that's probably the emotional side of things that probably gets, you know, missed. But again, it's peace of mind for yourself, for your family. Again, it's free.
The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.